Welcome to the Analytics of Dynasty Daily Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan McNamara. I'm going to try a new project here, and I'm going to do a couple of them, see how everyone likes them. If they're worthwhile, I'll do them all. If they're too dense or if they're, not useful, we'll go a different route. So I'm going to do a couple of them, test drive them here. Basically, going to do a passing game review of every offense. So I went going super deep on PFF data. So I'm looking at, some of the rate stuff, it'll become explanatory here in a minute. Passing rate, yards per attempt, scramble rate, all that stuff. And get an idea of basically how we're, how these offenses are scoring, maybe some areas of improvement, right? Look at some of the transactions, some offensive line stuff, incorporate some of that. And then look really where the offenses were run, the routes, who was effective, right? Who might be buy candidates on some expanding volume and that sort of thing. So gonna give it a shot here, see how it's received. I think there's some really fascinating stuff here with some of these players. And I've already, through a couple of teams and just perusing some of the data, I've already, identified some interesting stuff. So we'll sort of see how it goes. So we're gonna start with Arizona. So 63.54% of their plays last year were designed passes. That was 18th in the league, so right in the middle there. Their yards per attempt, 19th in the league, 7.13. Kyler Murray was their quarterback, and they had a really high scramble rate as a result of that, 7.76%. That was fourth highest in the league. They ran play action at a pretty high rate, which is good. They ran basically just over 29% of their passes were play action passes. That's good for 10th in the league. Big difference there too. 8.9 yards per attempt on play action passes, 6.4 yards per attempt on non play action passes. It's a 39.5% improvement, fifth best in the league. So they did a good job of sort of maximizing the efficiency there. More play action, keep running play action. We like play action. That's really what we're hoping for and what we're looking for there with their work there. So that's really the overall aspect of it. Non-pressure. The pressure rate was 27% for Kyler Murray, 34th. So again, that's pretty good in terms of, I believe there's 44 qualifiers and the threshold that I used, which was I think over 200 dropbacks. So that's good, right? You want a low pressure rate. That's excellent. That's what we're hoping for. Notably, they lost Mason Cole in free agency. He went to, I believe, Minnesota. They gained Rodney Hudson to be their center from the Raiders. Notable improvement here. So Hudson, only 12 hurries, 14 pressures last year. Mason Cole, 20 hurries, 23 pressures. So you are seeing an improvement there with the center play. I think that's a notable thing if you're sort of looking for, hey, some help there for Kyler Murray, shore up some of the center stuff. That's pretty good. When you look at when you look at some of the receiving stuff here for Arizona, it is a very, very wide receiver centric, I guess is the easiest way to say it, receiving game, whereas it's not particularly tight end friendly. So when you look at it, they ranked ninth in halfback routes. They ranked 18th in halfback targets, which I think is actually notable. And I think a lot of that's actually Kenyon Drake. And they ranked 19th in running back yards, second in wide receiver routes. So again, they basically averaged about three routes per drop back. So very, very three, four wide receiver centric, right at three. That's a very, very high number there. And ranks up near the top of the position at number two, only behind Buffalo. Sixth in wide receiver targets, fifth in wide receiver receptions per dropback, 13th in wide receiver yards per dropback, which is actually, you know, some of the yards per attempt stuff that I have concerns about Kyler Murray kind of shows up right there. Ranked 30th in terms of tight end routes. That's actually up. they are usually the last in the NFL in that. So they are 30th, 30th in targets, 29th in receiving yards receptions per dropback, and 26th in receiving yards per dropback. When you look at the receiving workload, it primarily revolved through DeAndre Hopkins. No surprise there. 29% of their target share. He saw 42% of their receiver targets. So that's a pretty robust involvement there. 2.25 yards per route run. So again, that's very good as well. 1,400 yards receiving, 1,407 to be precise. So again, big time numbers there. Big time, big time production. Ran basically a really, really high percentage of their routes at wide receiver as well. So, the dominant alpha there. Now, the question becomes, and this is one of the concerns that I have with the Arizona Cardinals, is sort of how does it get better? Christian Kirk ran essentially the second most routes on the team. He did run the second most routes. It's actually by a pretty large number. So he actually ran 16% of their total routes. He ran 26% of their wide receiver routes. 1.21 yards per route run. Not good. So that's a pretty disappointing one. Larry Fitzgerald ran 14% of their total team routes. He ran 22.5% of their wide receiver routes, 0.92 yards per route run. That's a big question there. When you look down, it doesn't get much better. Andy Isabella, pretty minimal role, 10% of their wide receiver routes. He ran 1.05 yards per route run, 6% for Keyshawn Johnson, 1.27 yards per route run. Trent Sherfield down there as well, but really remote usage, very, very minimal, only 2% of their routes, their wide receiver routes he ran. So it's a pretty big concern there in terms of how they get better. Well, they add AJ Green, who was one of the least effective yards per route run players on any sort of volume last year, pretty bad. And then they actually get Rondale Moore. So Rondale Moore is one that I don't know from institutional inertia perspective how fast he's going to just get involved, right? There's just a lot of, in cycling, they call it road furniture, right? There's just crap in the road, right? There's a lot of that to leap over for him. Now, Fitzgerald retires, right? If he doesn't come back, that's, a spot that helps Rondale Moore. Christian Kirk is still there. You have Isabella. Does he sort of get the job over Isabella? And you have some other guys. So, and AJ Green. So all of a sudden, you have a lot of stuff in the way for Rondale Moore. That's a concern that I have. Although when you sort of look at it, there shouldn't be a ton that blocks him. So if you're looking for a guy that can come in immediately and provide some value, I actually like the opportunity he has. There is plenty of opportunity to be had. There's 445 yards. 445 routes abandoned just by Larry Fitzgerald alone. And that's third on the team. Dan Arnold, notably 299 in terms of his routes as well. Again, if that's basically the next highest tight end, so 105. So it's a pretty small usage there with Max Williams being the next one. Daryl Daniels as well ran 100 routes. But it's a wide receiver-centric offense. Notably, we'll talk about this in the Carolina one. Dan Arnold, very efficient, 1.46 yards per route run, 299 routes. So he's one from a deeper perspective. I'm looking to add where he's available, tight end premium leagues. So I do think it's there's some optimism to be had for Rondale Moore. I think it's a really big year for Kyler Murray as well. And so when you sort of look at, when you and the concern that I have about this team in particular is when you sort of look at where they're at, they're kind of middling. If they disappoint this year, I think the seat is getting warmer for Cliff Kingsbury. If they disappoint, I think there becomes an issue of, hey, when is he going to be potentially being replaced? I think that could happen relatively. I don't think it's maybe necessarily an early season thing, but that conversation could start. And then all of a sudden, are we going to have the same sort of spread system that emphasizes some of the Kyler Murray, the Kyler Murray value, right? That's a concern that I have. So Kyler Murray going 104 in startup drafts in the last month, right? That's very high in terms of some of the risk stuff that we talked about. Again, it's good from a fantasy production perspective. How elite is it going to be when some of the running comes maybe back to earth? I have questions about him as a passer, and at that point, I just have to pass. That's really the ultimate deal with him. When you look at Rondale Moore, 12, 10 startups, wide receiver 48 the past month, that's interesting. And he's going behind guys like Gallup, Henry Ruggs, for example. So I think that's a notable one. I covered, and I'm not going to do the running backs in this series. As I sort of started looking at it and doing some of the running back stuff for this, it's kind of just easier to do running backs in a kind of a one big blob because there's not a ton of competition. So I did the prior piece on them, the running backs and stuff that had some competition. I did a deeper dive on those. And so I talked about, some of the stuff with Edmonds and Connor as well. But these are going to focus primarily just on the passing game stuff. Hopkins, notably 401, wide receiver 49. That's going just ahead of Jamar Chase, for example, and behind CeeDee Lamb at the position. They have the same median as well. Actually, Jamar Chase, Lamb, and Hopkins all have the same median. They're just going a couple picks apart in terms of the overall startup valuation. Christian Kirk, just to close the loop on that, wide receiver 74, 1803. So that'll do it for this episode. Again, give me your reviews. Tell me what you think on these. I'm going to do a series of them to start, at least. If you think they're helpful, let me know. If you think they're not helpful, let me know that too, totally. I'm trying to give you guys useful content. I think some of this data is pretty interesting. And as we sort of look, I think Arizona, and I think Kyler Murray is pretty neutral too. What I think is interesting when you look at some of the other guys, Herbert, for example, has some really odd regression, screaming regression splits, like is really, really good on pressure and not in blends in and non-pressure stuff, which is a pretty dangerous thing it's a pretty dangerous trend. So that would be something that will be concerning, typically, because that pressure rating tends to regress. The non-pressure rating tends to stay pretty sticky. So a lot of what he did was buoyed by pressure stats. That's not exactly what we're looking for. So, all right, well, that'll do it for this episode. Again, until next time, continue embracing the variance. We'll talk again very soon.